Both tape recorders are on now.
Thưa bà, như tôi đã thưa với Colonel Hooper và bà, tôi sẽ mang hết cái sức lực của tôi có thể giúp đỡ được hội người cựu chiến binh Hoa Kỳ, Colonel Hooper và bà, cái gì tôi vui lòng giúp. Nhưng phải cấp đầy đủ phương tiện cho tôi, vì với cái risk mà vì cái sự sống còn của tôi quá nguy hiểm.
I'm ready to collaborate with you in bringing that information. You have to give me the means, because it's my life engaged in this affair, is this undertaking.
What kind of means?
Ông nói về phương tiện là ông nói phương tiện là ra như sao?
Thưa bà, bây giờ tôi giúp là tôi sẵn sàng giúp rồi. Ví dụ như bây giờ tôi phải có một cái phần thưởng, tưởng thưởng gì trước khi tôi nhận cái công việc làm. Có thể tôi vừa về đến nhà tôi bị bắt là cả một cái đời sống tôi tan rồi. Đó. Thế còn ví dụ như mà nếu mà để cho tôi vào, anh Phi Thê vào, tức là vào Việt Nam bất cứ lúc nào thì phải có một cái business ví dụ như cái này. Thì lúc đó bên kia coi như là cái này cần cho họ về kinh tế, họ có tí tiền quan ở bên Pháp thì mình ra vào rất dễ dàng. Thì lúc đó mỗi lần tôi ở được một tuần, hai tuần ra về thì là có tin tức rồi. Có tin, cần nhất là cái phương tiện để mua tin, để cho người này, cho công an, cho quân đội, cho các cái nơi mà mình tình nghi là có tù binh Mỹ giam đó, thì phải mua chuộc từng người một, từ trưởng đồn cho đến nhân viên ở dưới.
Well, basically here she say that it's a great risk for him. He agreed to take the risk. It also needs the means to give bribes to like the wife and the children of those wars around there. First, give bribes, you know, give or dinners, whatever, rich washes, give to those in order to ask them to get information we want from the gores from American prisoners of war, gores, the gores from those camps. That is what we mean.
Does Mr. Lee know him?
Do you know? Yeah, I know both of them. Yeah. I know both of them. I know both of them. Yeah, I know both of them.
You know both of them. Mr. Lee does not know either of them.
Ông không có biết heo, ông không có biết heo.
Tôi không có nghe, tôi không có nghe. Nhưng mà nếu mà tôi cũng có quen những doctor, nếu mà doctor thời kỳ Cộng hòa cũ đó. Tại vì tôi đi qua Pháp 17 năm, bây giờ là 20 năm rồi.
Ông có quen No. But he said that maybe before he went to France, remember he lived in France 20 years. He believes he might have known a doctor by
tôi nếu mà cần hỏi tôi về tôi hỏi được ngay.
He thinks he can inquire about Dr.
Tại vì tôi quen rất nhiều colonel, liệt năng colonel Mệt Sạch ở Sài Gòn.
Yeah, because he knows many military doctors. Military. I know both of them. I know who they are. I know very well.
Excuse me, colonel. You working in Vietnam?
I was there 1 year.
1 year?
Yeah.
In
1961. Very
time.
Early.
Yeah, because my young brother, he is a lieutenant colonel, a portparol of army Vietnamese.
Let me ask if he Lee can give Trung us Yen. A copy of this. It's in French, but it's a very good document, you see. So that
I was at Benoit.
Yeah.
Introduce us.
And then Fouclé. And Quang Trung.
Quang Trung. Yes, my father is living in Quang Trung. Yeah. About 14 kilometers of Saigon.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, exactly.
Is there anything else
cho
we should
cái
cover?
Copy của cái này được không? Ông cho tôi một cái copy của đó hôm nào được không? Do you think we can make a Xerox copy of this right now?
If I can figure out how to run the machine.
Let me see.
I think we're the only ones here, Earl.
Thì bà thử đưa cho bà mà.
Cho tôi.
Xong bà thứ bà cái vâng bà sẽ giúp của nhé.
Đưa cho ông đi làm. đưa cho tôi chứ không phải đưa cho mấy người kia đâu. It is regarding that business is talking about. I know Dr. Ka. Dr. Ka, he has some plan to live in Vietnam. In the past, he has.
Có nghĩa là nếu mà không ấy thì thưa bà giữ rồi bà chuyển lại cho tôi. Bây giờ không có thì không ấy.
But that's okay. If you cannot find, then we figure that out. You see, I will.
Bà yes. Qua nếu mà cần đó, đây là cái rapport mà tôi làm về chuyển vận thuốc.
If you could make a copy, Mrs. An, and then send it on to us.
Oh yeah. This is about the business we talk about. You see, this is who was involved. French.
Cái này thưa bà, cái là nó có hai chuyển vận hàng không là một thứ thì. Nếu mà theo cái tính tôi estimate minima tối thiểu một năm đầu tiên thì thưa bà lời vào 755.643 đô la ngàn đó. Và nếu mà tính ra tiền quà thế còn về cái thuốc men thế về cái thuốc men thì thưa bà về thuốc men thì benefits rồi one year first year 2,139,797,000 dollars, 2 million. Yeah.
It's a very profitable kind of thing, but very controversial. You see, because a lot of people don't like to do business with the North Vietnamese government. You know, you understand why?
Oh yes.
Yeah, but it's extremely profitable because they just went got that. They
I'm
just really.
Warmed up now.
Oh, so why don't đưa cho ông đi đưa cái này.
How many copies you want?
Oh, I don't know.
Cái bà lấy một cái. Cái này là tôi nói về cái chuyện mà nếu mà tính chuyện buôn bán làm ăn thì lấy cái này.
Yeah, it would be an excellent cover for that. It's a very profitable. The only thing is that number of Vietnamese. You understand why? You see, we have some reservation on that subject. That's all. You see.
Because you know, bà nói là tại vì trong thời gian mà về Việt Nam làm thăm gia đình là ấy về cái vụ chuẩn vận hàng không đó.
Yeah. You see, here is the situation right now. We buy the medicines and we send home. But if my uncle is sick, if he waits for my package to get home, he might die before that. So it really help everybody. It's really help everybody. It is something that the communists very much want to get going, because they get the taxes paid right there in France.
Bà cái hãng Pháp ở bên kia thì làm đi nhưng mà tại vì là vấn đề vốn nó rộng quá thành ra không dám phiêu lưu.
It is a very controversial kind of thing. You see, doing business with the communist government, a lot of Vietnamese, and yet we are doing now. Something very similar because I'm sending packages home all the time to my uncle. Is that the same thing?
The only difference is the time involved.
Very,
right.
Very quickly.
Getting the
right.
Help
3 days.
Them.
3 days.
Right. It's
by telex. Yes.
Also, when they buy wholesale from French pharmacies like that and they send it to Vietnam, the profit is 2-3 times more than what we do here. We have to go and buy retail price, you see, already expensive, and we have to pay for the freight. And it takes many, many weeks or maybe months before our relatives would ever get that. And they have to pay taxes. Sometimes they don't have the money to pay taxes. Very high. And if they pay taxes, it isn't justice. It's no interest for Hanoi. You see, that's the situation all around.
Bà nói là tôi nói trong cái vụ này thì là luôn luôn lúc nào mình cũng có 1 triệu khách hàng. 1 million clients.
1 million customers. Yeah. And there are 75% of the medicines used in Vietnam now being sent
bà
by
bà
us. See
that? Là, chỉ
that
có
is a very
với
profitable
với cái
kind of
project
thing.
Này, thưa bà, với cái project thương mại này thì nhất định là thành công. Và tôi tin chắc chắn là chúng ta đã nắm chắc trong sự thành công rồi đó. Thành công rồi đó. Nếu mà về vấn đề tiền thì như thế này. Thế bà tức là một năm đầu là 3 triệu đô la. Cả hai việc chuyển vận hàng không, hàng hóa, VIP, những cái cadeau và những cái thùng thuốc đó. Thì các bạn lại bà tối thiểu là từ 1,8 triệu đến 3 triệu đô la.
Acquainted with some of the company in this country making medicines.
Some of them.
If we can
a good
do
idea.
Something like that, also see, we have a good program to cover what we want to do very good, a person who can have access to Vietnam very easily
and
also very profitable. If we can think over some American pharmaceutical company, I don't know.
Bà bảo là mình bây giờ mình cần
because
những tin tức thôi. Mình bây giờ mình
she
chỉ cần mình chỉ cần những tin tức để mình về mình bỏ tiền ra, bỏ phương tiện ra để thuê những các người này mà đi kiếm tin tức cho mình, nhưng mà không sợ bị chính phủ để ý, không sợ bị suy.
Okay, I think that really is about all for today.
Yeah.
Thank Mr. Lee very much for.
Yeah, like I'm
talking.
If you have time, I'd like you to talk with Dean, you see, and he can tell you how he has been treated by defense, you see, when he has been interrogated by defense in Southeast Asia and also in here. But he now stops. also, another current case of what Colonel Hopper wants, you see, to know. Colonel Hopper, I have here a letter from a man in Denmark. He has been interrogated in Denmark for 10 days and invited here for another 10 days. But at the end, he went home. I didn't know about that until he came over and talked to me in Belgium, in the presence of Congressman Don Bailey. Because what he told me is just... I wanted him to write down, so he wrote down here. So it's another case with you. It's why I told you it takes time for me to document all of that. How can I tell somebody something that has been told me for 3 hours? I don't remember. Even if I told you, it's no proof that the man told us. So
you have to be able to have the
right
proof.
See? We need to have something like that, otherwise I cannot. But if you want those, geez, almost every case, we can make a case out of that. But again, it takes time, you see, it takes time to write to the man and then also find out why some of those sources started talking to us. When we talk about Ham Thanh, may I recall to you, I think you still remember, that there has been a report of a train transporting live American prisoners through Da Nang and to Ham Thanh, and stopping by in Da Nang at midnight, and a group of young militia came up and brought water to the American prisoners. And the report is printed in the Congressional Record. I gave to George Brooks, and he gave to Congressman Ginman. It is in the record, you see. But when the young militia man came here, I personally talked with him. But the very strange thing is that he was begging me, telling me to stop. He said it's too dangerous for him. He simply didn't want to continue. Now, I get back to his anger. I want to get back to him. I want to find out why that he cut us off. You see that? When I worked for the Lee never told me to continue, so I stopped. But now that you want me to find out, I want to find out why he no longer... And I can tell you, it's a whole box of worms we are going to pull out. It's one. If you want, I can give you a copy of that. You have somebody translate and you would know. It's a tremendous thing, you know. But almost every case is the same thing. You see, many cases is still not fully known. Because I do what the Lee told me. Who will pay for long distance call if I keep calling on those guys and find out why they stop? You see that? Today, if you want me, I would continue. And also, I work for the Lee. If the Lee not interested in continuing and finding out, I'm not interested either, you see?
Well, knowing the Cressmans as well as I do, I know that they, along with all the rest of us, want pursued. Yes,
right,
we want it pursued.
No, I don't mean Bob Cressman. I mean the National League. You see?
Well, the National League, as you know, is being controlled now by the government.
They're not going to want it pursued. I know. About this case from this man in Denmark. Let me come back. When I went to France in 81, his nephew, somebody told me about him who has seen live Americans, you see. And I talked to Colonel, the defense attaché in Paris, at the U.S. Embassy. What's his name? Grenier. I talked to Colonel Grenier about this man, And Colonel Grenier said, yes, he's the man. Oh, yes, I know who he is. He already came here and talked to us. So I saw that the connection already made, you see. I was working for the league and for defense. So already made, so I just forget about that. I didn't bother to introduce both of them because they already met each other. But I knew the name. I knew it was a live sighting. Then about 2 years later, I went to Belgium for a meeting. Congressman Don Bailey was with me at that time. And then a man come up to me and introduced himself. That was the man. And he told me that he has been giving information to Department of Defense for 10 days here. But he's been angry because he was insulted and they told him he was a communist at the end. So he wanted Congressman Bailey and me to listen. And he thought that maybe the families want to know the whole story. That's why he talked to me. We talked for 3 hours, you see, and I came back. I told Anne about that, and I say, wouldn't it be advisable for someone to go talk to him on the name of the league? And Anne never pursue anything, so we just let it drop, you see. But what he told me is typical, huh? First, they started promise many things very nice. They give lie detector tests in Europe, and they brought him back here. And they brought him back here and interrogation for 10 days. And at the end, they declare that he was a communist spy sent here to confuse things or something. Let me read exactly what the charges are. They make the same charge with Dean. They make the same charge with me. Communist spy, confusing thing, or sent by Hanoi to get the words to you that men are lying in order for Hanoi to get the money, something like that, you see?
That is now the normal
Colonel Hopper, the charges for all the three of us is that at first they're very nice to us, and at the end they say, you've been sent by Hanoi to get the words to us, Colonel Hopper, and to you, that we are still holding men over there so that we can go and bargain for money. You see?
This is their tact to discredit.
Right. And also to get me so miserable. You know, the other day, when Bob Crossman was talking to me, he said, your telephone is temporarily disconnected, and 5 minutes later, it was reestablished. You know what? They removed the tape from my telephone. Many of my friends say so, you see, that they call and it's temporarily disconnected. And 5 minutes later, Bob Crossman, you talk to Bob Crossman on the morning when Bob the State was hanging the phone on me and sending me all the way. You see, on that day, Bob Crossman called me. My telephone had never been disconnected, and yet Bob Crossman said that I just called you 5 minutes ago and say it's temporarily disconnected when they removed the tape to listen to it. How can Bob the State knew that I told him not to come down? One thing. He got the phone and said, you told him not to come down. How could he know
it? The only way, in other words, Mrs. Ahn, the only way that Bob the State would have known that you and Mr. Lee had talked about time and all of this was if he had been listening in.
Sure.
If somebody in his agency had been listening in on your telephone.
Right. There's no other way. Because Because he called me at 10:30 in the evening, and at 7:30 in the morning, he already called me very angry. He said, why did you tell him not to come down? How did he know? Nobody has told him. Nobody. How can he know 10:30 in the evening? And also, Bob Christman say, I just call you, and your phone is temporarily disconnected. Bob Christman was not the only person. There is a former Minister of Finance in Vietnam also tell me the same thing, that your phone has been disconnected, and then 10 minutes later, it's reestablished. So what do you think, you see? They get me so miserable. They FBI investigated me, now they opened my mail. Oh, we who didn't have all of my letters, even check the send to him. They show it to him.
Mrs. Ahn?
Hello?
Mr. Lee, thank you very much. I'm turning both tapes off now.
Oh, we have